Welcome to the Make Money Living Your Purpose podcast. I'm prosperity coach Karen Powell, and this is the podcast for heart-centered leaders, innovators, and creatives who dream of leaving their 9-to-5 to pursue their passion project but don't know where to start. I'm sharing my proven process that will help you heal your money mindset and figure out your own unique purpose in life. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. I am doing something special for you. For the next few weeks, I'm interviewing members of my Money on Purpose community so that you can get some insights on what it means to clear out your money blocks, open yourself up to more prosperity and abundance, and learn how to create and manifest your most meaningful and fulfilling lifestyle. So what does it take? How does it happen? What do you need to learn? What do you need to do? Each interview is showing you a unique experience and unique results. And it's my hope and my intention that you get inspired and motivated to go for your own dreams and explore what's possible for you. So whether you join us for the upcoming round of Money on Purpose or not, my wish for you is that you get the courage to dream bigger than you've ever dreamed before, and that you get the support and the encouragement that you need to make those dreams come true. So I'm very excited to talk with Marissa von Staden today. You're going to see Marissa's energy is contagious. She is so much fun to be around, and I always love chatting with her and just soaking up her beautiful, positive energy. But Marissa didn't always feel so positive and energetic, and she'll be sharing some of her story and her transformation from the Money on Purpose journey. So I just want to welcome Marissa to the show, and let's hear a little bit from Marissa. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me here. I'm Marissa. I'm married and a mommy of two, and I am a creative. I used to work in agencies and then in corporate, and now I have my own creative design studio, and that is me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you so much. You know, I was looking at your testimonial earlier on the Money on Purpose page on my website, and it says, I was feeling lost, tired, and disconnected. In short, not alive. And I was wondering, where on earth will I get the time to do this program? But I knew this was the time for me now. Now, here's the thing, is people come to Money on Purpose for different reasons. Some to clear out money blocks, some to clarify their purpose, some to help them transition from their current job or career into something more meaningful and fulfilling. Marissa, why did you come to Money on Purpose? Tell us what was happening in your life then. How were you feeling? The belief system you were operating on? What was the impetus to come to the program, especially when you said, I don't know how in the world I was going to find the time to do this?
Wow, that quote takes me way back. I already had my own studio, and that was, I think, about a year after my son was born. And I saw my motherhood was quite a hectic experience for me at first. And I worked really hard. And at that time, I was just out. I looked at my life, and I have this beautiful business supposedly doing what I love. I had two beautiful children. I had a husband. I had a home, and I couldn't enjoy any of it. I didn't feel anything. I felt empty. I was at a stage where I was really looking for help, and I didn't know where to go. And then your course came by, and I'm like, I just had this feeling in my heart, this is the thing I need to try.
So it's just a feeling of what was going on in your life at the moment. You just wanted a change. You just wanted something different. And if you think back, you know, what was your belief system back then that was getting you into that kind of, I don't know if you want to call it a rut or a, you know, just not, like you said, you had everything. You had everything on paper. And I think that's so much, you know, the story of so many of us. We are successful. We're doing things. We're creating the, you know, these lifestyles and this life and the success. And then we're wondering, why does something feel like it's missing? So was there something going on in your life at that time, when you look back at the old you or the former you, what was, you know, what were you allowing yourself to do or to believe that was causing those results that you were unhappy with?
Definitely one of the main things, I didn't think or allowed myself to look after myself. I believed I have to be ready for everyone else. Anyone that asks something of me need to get that. That's a belief system I used to have. And it was, I did that to such a point that there was nothing left of me. So I had everything on paper, but I couldn't feel it. I couldn't enjoy it. I couldn't appreciate it. One of the biggest things in my growth journey was to really understand that I need to look after myself, and not just look after myself, also heal myself to be able to do what I need to do for others, because that's also important to me. I'm a nurturer by nature. I want to look after everyone. I want to sort out your problems. I want to help where I can. And that was one of the biggest growth points, I think, for me.
Yeah. So giving, giving, giving. Gosh, this is a recurring theme that I'm seeing in some of these interviews that I'm doing, is just this giving, 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 and putting ourselves last. And if there's any time left over or any space or any energy left over for anything else, then we try to squeeze something in for ourselves. And of course, that's not going to go very well, is it?
No, it doesn't. Because I can actually see that the quality of creative work is better since I'm looking better after myself. I am mind-blowingly getting more done in less time work-wise. I am definitely a way better mom, more the mom I wanted to be in the first place. It was really a journey for me to embrace motherhood. And now that I have, I really want to be there and I want to be present and I don't want to be overtired and stressed and snappy all the time. And by giving myself some space and time, I'm a better mom, I'm a better wife, I'm a better creative. And I would not, my belief system just didn't allow for that before.
So let's get into a little bit of your journey then. How were you able to shift the belief system? Let's talk a little bit about the money on purpose journey or anything else that was going on in your life at that time that you were able to intentionally change your beliefs or change the way that you interacted with your life. What can you put that down to?
Well, it boils down to self-love and self-worth. And I obviously didn't have too much of that. I actually was under the impression that I'm quite a confident person. And now in hindsight, I can see that that was not the case. I had to really start to love myself, to be able to make it a priority to care for myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is the first part of the foundational part of the Money on Purpose journey, is so much of it is self-care. And we tend to overlook that and say, yeah, I'll get to the self-care once I've got more time or once I feel better about myself. And it actually is the opposite. We have to look at our life as a holistic sphere, and that it's not pie that gets cut into slices, and I'll do some self-care over here on the weekend, or I'll do a little bit of meditation here or there, or I'll take some time for myself, you know, when I have some time after everything else. It's really, we have to put it into our life first. We've got to start putting ourselves first as a priority so that we can give to others in a more energetic way that serves everybody. And so that is one of the things that we do in, it's a major thing that we do in the Money on Purpose journey, is the self-care and the focusing on one of, you know, one of the first things that we do is this fuel and drain exercise. What is fueling you right now in your life? What is draining you in your life? And to get really clear and honest with yourself. Did you find that honesty part surprised you? Because people often say, gosh, I thought I knew what was going on. I thought I knew what was happening in my life. I thought I knew what was draining me. But when I was, when I really sat down and got honest with it, a whole lot of other things were revealed to me. Did that happen for you at all?
Yes, yes, definitely. First off, that like putting out a whole week for self-care. I remember when I was in the program, I'm like, oh, thank goodness, an easy week. And then I realized it's not easy because it's not a habit for me to look after myself. And I think that definitely had an impact. I squeezed out small little spaces there, and then I grew my self-care regime, I want to call it almost, over time. Where now it's beautiful. I created a beautiful morning routine for me. I'm a morning person. My day starts way better. I still have my weekend baths, unlimited time, no kids. I have my little walks around the block. I just believe there's no time. And like I said, I believed I was quite a confident person. And then being honest about what fuels me and what drains me, I realized I'm not, because I can't say no. I can't say no. If I can see I spend absolutely no time on myself, and I can't say no to others.
Yeah. We think we know ourselves until we really take time to turn the focus inward and be honest, really, really honest with ourselves. What other ways were you needing to be honest with yourself back then? Because one of the things that I find that people really have a tough time with is one of the first things we do is writing our ideal money on purpose story, which is really, in all areas of my life, what do I want my life to look like? And this becomes such a stumbling block for people because they can't actually see that end result yet. So it's hard to write it down. It's hard to connect with it. It's hard to be really, really honest about it. Did you find that that was a difficult exercise as well? Just like, well, okay, so here's where you are. We always start with where you are. Now, where do you want to be? What do you want for your life? And this is one of the most important parts of creating an extraordinary life, a fulfilling life, a creative life. How did you find that exercise? And were you able to really connect with what you're experiencing now, what you've created? Or did it take some time to move into allowing yourself to dream bigger?
It was one of those exercises, again, that seemed really easy. I mean, I can just spill out everything I want. And when I had to sit down, and I think I'm not alone in this, a lot of people are unhappy or they feel they're not in the right place, but they don't actually know what they want. So I remember the first round, I did it. And then as the program progressed, you kept telling us, don't water it down. Don't water it down. Don't water down your dreams. And I know for the first time writing that story, I had to go back a couple of times. And I rewrote it a couple of times until I got to, yes, this is what I want. this is what I want. It's audacious. It seems scary, but this is what I want. When I started the program, like many people, I just knew I wasn't in a good place. I wasn't in the right place, and there must be more. And I must be able to mean more to the world than what I'm doing now. Sometimes I hear people having like a big aha moment. I had lots of small ones, and I'm always still up-leveling. But that getting to what I really wanted, don't feel bad if you sit and you listen to the podcast and you're like, oh, I'm actually one of them too. I don't know what I really want. Take some time. And take some time and figure it out. Take some time for yourself and figure it out. And one of the tools that you teach in the program is free writes, basically journaling. That still helps me to this day. I journaled a lot after you said don't water down your dreams. And in that way, I bit by bit, I figured out this is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I want. Instead of staying in what I don't want.
Yeah. Staying in what we don't want, and then we are attracting more of what we don't want. We're focusing on what we don't want, and we're just staying stuck in that place. I don't know if you listen to the interview I did with Nalau, but Nalau talks about how the same thing when I kept saying, you know, don't water down your dreams, keep bumping them up, be honest with yourself. And she really wanted to find true love, but she had thrown that out the window and said, no, I'm just here for the money blocks. I just want to, you know, get my money blocks sorted out so that I can become the rich auntie. And then I can just be the, you know, just be with my sisters and their families. And I'll just focus on their kids because it's never going to happen for me. So I might as well just create a successful business and focus on that. But then she said she was being delusional. You use the word audacious, very similar words, and actually putting it out there and saying, no, I want this thing that feels very audacious. I want this thing that feels delusional, like I'll never have it. Because when you say that, when you connect with it, that's where the magic starts happening. So did you find, I'd love to hear about the things that you've manifested from doing that exercise. I know one of them is the beach house. I know you can tell that story if you want. But
oh, I forgot.
What are
about
some
that.
Of the things that you forgot? What are some of the things that you've manifested that you've created from dreaming bigger and not watering down your dreams and actually connecting with them and saying, okay, this is really what I want, even though I don't know how I'm going to get it?
Well, the main one, the absolute main one, that is something that you can't see or buy or get, is my whole family life changed. And like I said, I went on this journey where I could embrace motherhood, where I can embrace being a family, and it doesn't feel like a chore. It's not supposed to. And I believe I manifested a beautiful, healthy family life for us that we all enjoy. So that is definitely one, and I'm quite proud of that. Yes?
That's big. That's big, and you can't put a price on that, can you?
No, you can't. So that is definitely my number one. It's like a total opposite shift from when I started to where I am now. I'm also at a place with that growing. I'm at a place where I can see the different seasons for what it is and embrace that. Because with motherhood comes also different seasons in your life where you are more involved, where you are less involved. I'm now in a season where I have two kiddos in grade school, so there's twice the math and there's twice the extracurricular activities. And instead of it draining me, I can really enjoy it. I enjoy every chat we have in the car. It's something, if I was still working in the office, I wouldn't be able to have. So my family life is definitely number one. Number two is definitely the beach house. That also ties in with a with a journey of caring for myself. Because I work from home for the creative studio, I want to work from home to be able to do my passion and my income and also be present for the kids. But as you can imagine, that is quite a tricky balance to keep. And part of that was me and my husband had this dream of a house in Hentys Bay where we can go and relax, where I can get out of the house where I work and live and really go and relax. And we had a list. For this one, we got really specific. We had a tick list of it had to be walking distance from the beach. It had to have 3 bedrooms to have enough space for everyone to visit. I can't remember, but there was like a tick list of about 5 major things. Open space living area. We want to be all together. The old houses and Hentys all have different rooms. And we actually started looking before we had the budget for it. When we saw the right one, I just knew. I remember we were having coffee in the morning, a Sunday morning, and we were browsing on the internet. And we came on this picture of this little corner house, walking distance from the beach, with this open living area and tears coming to my eyes. It just, I told my husband, this is the one. This is the one. I knew, Limor, this is the one. And by hook or by crook, we could make a plan and we could buy the beach house with everything inside, already inside. So we didn't even have to furnish it because that's a whole journey on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, that is really where we go to rest and using your energy and resting, using your energy in blocks and resting. It's a recipe I've been following for 3-4 years now. And that is also part of the self-care overhaul that I created in my life.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I love it. Congratulations on that beach house. And I want to focus a little bit on that money aspect now, because Money on Purpose is about clearing out money blocks, because so many people don't go for their dreams because they think it's a money issue. Well, if I just had the money, I would go buy the beach house. If I just had the money, I would quit my job and just go, you know, become a life coach or travel the world or do whatever I wanted. It's always because of the money. And what I love to show people is that it is not because of the money. It is because of your thoughts about the money, your beliefs about the money, your limiting beliefs around what you are allowed to have in your life. So we really look at it from a different angle. And many people would try to first get the money in order and save it up, and then dream about the beach house, and then start looking for the beach house. And what we do differently is we start dreaming about the beach house first and getting very specific and bumping up how many bedrooms, open space, you know, even though most of the homes in that area that you're looking are lots of little rooms, you want it open plan. Saying that even though it's probably not available, it doesn't seem to be available, this is what I want. I want open plan. I want walking distance to the beach. All of those things, and saying what you want and suspending your belief that the money has to be there, and that's one of the hows of it, it comes and falls in place. So how were you able to, let's talk a little bit about money blocks and limiting beliefs around money and how those have shifted for you so that you can make these changes in your life and get these manifestations in your life. What do you remember your beliefs about money before, and if they've changed, if they've shifted into something more freeing now, something more expansive?
Yes, I'm definitely one of those persons. I was one of those persons in the past that would have first saved up for the beach house. And then, okay, honey, we've got the cash in the bank. Let's start looking. It is It still feels a little bit like magic. Does it make sense? The different angle that you teach, it still feels a little bit like magic because we could not have foreseen beforehand. And because of the program, rest and rejuvenation was part of my wish. And we identified that I don't get out of the house because I live here and I work here. And we in any way had that wish for the beach house. I would never before have browsed around, never, ever, ever before that. And everything that was necessary fell in place once we got once we saw the perfect one. So it feels a bit like magic now. It's still getting used to. Sometimes I still need to remind myself of first knowing what you want, then believing what you want, and taking the little steps towards what you want, and everything starts to fall in place. Sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it's easier. Everything just falls in place also with the beach house because the people selling were under financial pressure. So they were willing to negotiate about the price, and we could have it fit into what we qualify for. I mean, we couldn't have known that beforehand. If I waited for afterwards, it might possibly not even have happened.
Yeah, exactly. We do things from the opposite angle that feels like the logical way to do something. And that's why it feels a little bit like magic, because it doesn't make sense to the brain. The brain doesn't understand magic. The brain is like, no, we've been taught to do things very methodically and safely and look ahead and plan it out. And life actually wants to show you that your dreams are valid. You get to have what you really want in your life. And if you suspend that belief that you have to first make it all happen first and then you can claim it, then you can actually go down this path of very magical feeling. It's fun. I think it's really fun to look at houses before you're ready to buy. I've done that many times where I just look at houses. I go into them. And it's not even that it's something that I'm ready to do right away, but it feels exciting. It feels like you're throwing your wish out ahead of you and you're walking towards it to catch it. And taking these little steps is so simple. And yet we fight it until we learn this new way of being in the world, this new way of trusting and being patient. Like you said, some things take longer. Some things happen very quickly, much quicker than you thought that they would have happened. But taking those small steps also helps with building our trust in ourselves, building our trust in life, and allowing ourselves to feel enjoyment in the process. It's not a stressful thing to take a small step. It's a stressful thing to see a bunch of big steps.
I love your small steps. I had to change my belief system about that because I believed you have to go into big strides, go for it, gun for it, and you don't feel ready for it. And you teach us small little steps. And what I've learned, if I put out a step for myself and I don't do it, then I break down that step. Even smaller, until it's a little step that I'm willing to take.
Yeah, love that. Anytime a step feels overwhelming or stressful, I can guarantee it's too big of a step. You need to break it down, like you've just said, break it down into a small, tiny step for today. What can I do towards that step today? Just break it down into a much smaller action. And it actually feels so good. It feels so good. I've got my little checklist. I teach you guys this right from the very beginning, that the training in the very beginning where you plan out your year, your quarters, your weeks, your days, And you don't do it all at once. You do it in little chunks. And I love my daily checklist. I just love it. I'm so in love with my daily checklist. If I don't have it, I start to feel like, oh my gosh, where is it? I need it right next to me. It is the small steps during the day that just make me feel so nurtured even. They make me feel so calm just taking those small steps.
Let's take the beach house example. Think you sit, you realize this is your dream. How big that feels. You need 1 or 2 million. You need, it's overwhelming. But a small step is making coffee and browsing. That's doable.
Yeah, exactly.
That's doable. I can do that. But it's one of the steps we had to take to manifest that dream. And after that, there's one more little step. And then if the steps get too big, I realize, Marissa, stop, break it down, make it 2 or 3 steps. And it works wonderfully.
Yeah, it's amazing that way, isn't it? So let's talk about your career, if you want to. Talking about doing, I think, more creative work was something that you wanted to focus on. You're a very creative person. And you are creating different things in your life now. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Okay, this one we can try. It is currently still a work in progress. This is my current project. Is a pivot in the direction I go with my studio. I studied graphic design. And before that, I always used to do art classes, like fine art classes. Drawing and painting and working with ink. And quite early in my career, I started missing that. And it's just something I push back because you're building career, you're working. And then a couple of years ago, it really started shouting at me that I'm really missing the fine art part of being creative. So my current project is working in more art. That is also one of the things where I didn't know how. But I kept feeling that wish and that dream in my heart. And it was a whole journey and a process and the right things coming at the right time where I found a surface pattern design where you draw or paint or whatever you want to do and then you digitize that and create patterns and in different color palettes, where I'm currently used to with a graphic design, specifically working for brands, the colors, the fonts, the logos, all given to you. So I miss that part where I choose what I want to do with it. Yes, and I'm busy with that process of working in more of the pattern design into my studio business instead of just the graphic design for brands at this stage. And I'm currently doing it one step at a time.
That's so beautiful. So you are kind of reinventing your career in a way, still doing what you've been doing, but making it more creative for your own self and your own enjoyment. This is what I call transitioning gracefully into what's calling you more. And you said that it was shouting at you. And that's the thing, is our dreams will shout at us. Our creativity will start shouting at us and say, please look this way. Please start giving me some attention. Yeah. So you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can transition gracefully from one thing to the next and have fun doing it and enjoy that and do it with the least amount of stress as possible. So maybe tell us about that part of your journey now, is becoming more creative in your work and doing things that feel very exciting and fulfilling for you.
Yes. When I realized that, it was actually, I think, about 2 years ago where I realized, this is the perfect in-between because I like the design on the computer, but I also like the being creative, like in a fine artsy way, if that makes sense. And this is the perfect merge. At first, I was looking for that answer. And then once I got that answer, I started investigating. I did a 3-month course on it. I'm reading up a lot of it. I'm in communities learning about it. And this is currently about a 2-year project for me, this pivot. And it's fine because this is not my only priority in my life at this stage. Being a very present mom is, still doing my graphic design for my income is. So this is a third priority. And I'm just cracking away at it, one little step at a time. And I can, if I look back, I can see the amazing progress. And because I think it maybe it helps me because this project takes a bit longer than some of my others, because I have manifested beautiful things that I really, really wanted. I know it's there for me. I just need to keep trusting, keep taking my little small little steps, and it will all come at the perfect time, because I also believe there's perfect and good time for certain things in our lives. We need to heal and change mindsets and adjust to be able to receive the perfect thing for our heart. And I believe I'm in the process of doing that with my career.
Yeah, and it's always a process. It's always, we need to understand that it is a journey to our dreams. It is the process to our dreams. It is not, I just want this thing now. So we're learning so much about trust and patience in this process. What do you think you've had to heal in order to get to this place that you're at right now, Marissa? What can you kind of pick out one or two things that have healed? And I don't know if you want to talk about the healing process at all. You're welcome to. It's different for everybody. But I'll just start with this question, and that is, what have you healed within yourself that's allowing you to live a life that feels more gentle, feels more creative, feels like you've, in your words, able to adjust to the seasons and be in the seasons of motherhood and just really flow with life more than you were before?
I don't know. I just know there were a lot of healing, but I'm not sure if I can word it out.
Yeah. The healing process is an interesting part all on its own, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. The crux of it comes down to loving myself, but there's obviously a lot of limiting beliefs around not loving myself and not caring about myself.
Yeah. And you know what I'm loving about this, that you're even having to think back to the healing process, is there is this new normal now that we embrace and that we live, and we kind of forget that, oh my gosh, I used to live this way. I used to believe these things. And there is this new normal now. I've asked a few people this question and they kind of stumble, like you know, let me just think about this, because it's been so long. It feels like a lifetime ago. And I've got this new normal and this new way of being now that I don't actually recognize my old self. I don't recognize the ways I used to be in these patterns of stress and anxiety and control and all of these different things. It's just not my way anymore. So I'm focused on forward. I'm focused on how I'm living now and moving into new things to come.
Exactly, exactly. I remember we had a chat sometime earlier this year and you told me, Marissa, Just think back. And wow, like you said now, it's changed so much, little bit at a time. It changed so much that you almost can't remember what your old belief system must have been like.
Yeah. What would you think about just for a second? We don't have to stay here too long, but think about what would your life look like today, if you hadn't healed these limiting beliefs, if you hadn't prioritized your self-care and learned how to implement that in your daily life, if you hadn't learned how to dream bigger, if you hadn't learned how to trust the process of manifesting and creating, what would your life look like right now?
Wow, way different. Way different. Still running around, sweating, stressing about everything. Feeling like all this running around for the kids, so this is, it's so exhausting. I definitely would not have had the beach house and the lovely holidays I schedule in for myself, I would not have allowed myself to dream and actually action on, I enjoy what I'm doing, but I've been doing this for 20, I can't even. It would definitely would have looked way different than it's looking now.
And one of the things I love to help people focus in on is essence. And this is how things feel. So we just talked about how it might have looked, how different it might have looked. And I could feel actually what some of those feelings would have been, like when you say sweating and running around for the kids and not taking time for yourself, that can kind of get the essence of what that feels like. But let's talk a little bit about essence and what kind of essence you have in your life today. What's important to you? Like for me, my essence words that I'm constantly coming back to every year when I refocus on this is freedom, peace, joy, fun. These are the things that I, this year it's expansion is one of my essence words. So what are kind of your overall essence words that you are embracing? Because this is one of the parts of the Money on Purpose journey that we hone in on every day. And I think that this is what makes the big difference to help people bridge that gap between the life that you've got that is not feeling quite right to the life that you want, which you can't see yet. But what is the essence of what you want? How do you want to feel in your life? So do you want to share some of your essence words with us and essences with us?
It's very similar to yours, actually. You teach us to develop a lighthouse statement. And my lighthouse statement is I'm free, at peace, and happy. And I've tried to change it, actually, in the past, and it just doesn't work. And I'm embracing keeping this lighthouse statement as I work on different projects. The overall essence of what I want to feel is free, at peace, and happy. And then I got really audacious this year. Outside of that, I also use the practice of choosing a word for the year or an essence for the year. And I took joy to delight, really delighting in my children, delighting in especially in my work. I really want to enjoy my work. I wanted to make an impact and make a difference, but I want to enjoy doing it for making an impact, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I love that word. Oh, that's so beautiful, Marissa. I love that word, delight. That is, you know, bringing joy. I think you're bumping it up to delight and being just so audacious and say, you know, I want even more for myself and for my children, for my family. And I have to say that I was on your website yesterday and I was looking around and I was just kind of scrolling through and I just smiled and even got a little teary in my eye. It just like kind of hit me like, oh my gosh, this is really making me feel emotional. When I read this, what you wrote in the What Makes Me Tick section, you said, I value relationships, communication, truth, and silence. I believe in a body, mind, and spirit rhythm and being a force for good in the world. And that just really touches my heart. It embodies your essences. It just shows the kind of person that you are and how you're living now. It just was so beautiful. I loved stumbling upon that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I actually put quite a bit of thought into that little summary. So I do believe those are some of my, it boils down nicely to what I stand for and what I believe.
Oh, you said it so beautifully. So would you like people to connect with you? If people want to learn more about what you're doing and maybe they want to have a look at your website, can we link that in the show notes? Is that fine? Or what would you like to...
Yes, please, of course.
How would you like people to connect with you?
Yes, please, of course. You are more than welcome. I do have a website on my project list. Is redoing that this year. So let's see if my small little steps will take me there. I do believe it will. ChiliPinkCreative.com if you want to have a look there. And then I'm also on Facebook and Instagram as ChiliPink.creative.
And Chili is C-H-I-L-L-I, pink, right? Two L's in Chili Pink?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Awesome. Marissa, is there anything else that you want to share before we close off today? Anything else that you'd like people to know that we maybe didn't cover?
What I do want to say specifically about the program is I love the support. We don't have to walk this road alone. One, we are in a community with lots of other people experiencing the same things at different levels. We learn so much from each other. It's years since I did the first version. We get support calls. I still go to every monthly support call. And a lot of projects, what do we call this? A lot of programs promise support. And, I don't always experience it that way once I do the program. But for this one, I can really say they support all the way from others, from you. The whole program is set up in such a way that you always feel supported and you never have to be alone.
Thank you for mentioning that, because that is important to me. Because of the nature of what this program is helping you with, it's not a one and done thing. It's not a 6-week learn some skills and then go do something. It is an ongoing way of life. And really, the Money on Purpose journey, I think of it as a way of living and being in the world. And we're always going to be creating. We're always going to be healing. We're going to be up leveling. We're going to hit challenges at certain points. It's not about a smooth road going forward, but it's about being equipped to go along a road that has maybe some bumps in it. And that's why I made sure that I built in what I felt was, robust support in the group. And I'm really glad that you feel that and that you experience it. It's also a lifetime access program. So you can come through the live journeys anytime you want. We do them at the moment once a year, and they last for 3 months, the live versions. So you can come back anytime and join the group for the live version. But otherwise, you're getting support every day in the Facebook group if you need it, every month with a call. We've got the Facebook group where you can ask any questions. I sometimes do some lives in there. So there is never a reason to feel alone. You are always supported on this journey, and there's always something more to learn. There's always a new person to connect with. It's such a beautiful community of people who want to be forces for good in the world. And that's who I love to connect with, is people who want to make a difference and want to make an impact and give something of their life into making other people's lives better. And that's what you're doing, Marissa, and that's what everybody in the program is working together to create for themselves and even as a community. So thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you very, very much for having me. It was fun chatting with you.
It was so much fun. Thank you so much for being with Marissa and me today. I hope you are also inspired to heal your money blocks, step into your life's purpose, and become a force for good in this world. I'll see you next time. If you're ready to start creating the lifestyle of your dreams, I want to invite you to join GPS, my Gratitude Practice for Success program, where you'll learn my unique and proven manifesting process. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's already helping hundreds of people go from thinking their dreams were impossible to making them happen quickly. Whether you want to manifest your dream home, your soulmate, a brand new career living your life's purpose, or even financial freedom, it's yours to claim now. Just head over to kaseypowell.com/GPS and I will show you how.